Today is a great day. I love, a lot of times we do this down at the river. It's part of our church picnic, but we're mixing it up a little bit. And yes, in case any of you wondered, we have a baptismal font right there. And I was warned when I first came that if sermons went too long, there's a trap door they would open up. And so that hasn't happened yet. But I came upon an idea for a new way to reach people. You know how we need to be living out our faith in ways that are relevant, and sometimes that means different methods, right? Same truth, same essential truth, but different methods. And for quite a while now in our society, drive-by shootings have been such a problem in our nation. And I decided the enemy has used that drive-by method too much, and it's time for God's people to take it back. So here's an idea. There we go. Drive-by baptism. The last time we had a really good rain, I did that downtown, and I hit two police officers and a nun, and they didn't know what hit them. And I got out of there real quick because I didn't know what the police officers would do. I hope you know I'm just kidding. Part of what makes that idea so silly is that we know baptism isn't something to be done to you against your will. It is to be the result of something you choose, right? As a testimony of your faith in Christ, right? It's a decision telling the world, I have decided to be a disciple of Jesus. All right, you can take that down now. It's going to be a distraction. Thanks. So with that in mind, let's talk about decisions, all right? Choosing. I mean, we love having choices in our society, and no other culture or society in the history of the world has ever had as many choices as we do. I read that Starbucks claims to offer 87,000 different combinations of all of their drinks and sizes and things you can add to them. 87,000 choices at Starbucks. It's interesting. And of course, there's going to be studies on how we make decisions, because those in marketing, of course, want to know these things. But one study showed that at a store with six options for jam, you could buy six different kinds, or a store with 24 options, of course, people are going to flock to the store with 24 options because we like choices. But people at that store were much more likely to walk away from that store without buying anything than if they'd gone to the store with only six options. I don't know what exactly that means, but you've heard of the guy whose psychiatrist asked him if he had trouble making decisions, and he answered, "Well, doc, yes and no." And there's a lot to be said about decisions, and some of them very ridiculous, and some of them insignificant, but today, let's take a look at four things about decisions as they relate to following Jesus and baptism. First thing about decisions is this: they're spiritually significant. Spiritually significant. It's been said that the most spiritual thing that we do is not prayer, it's not going to church, but it's choosing. And if you think about it, choosing includes those other things because, you know, like prayer and fellowship and so forth, because we either decide to make time to pray or we choose to do something else. We choose to obey God's call to fellowship with other believers and worship, or we decide we've got better things to do. We choose to love people as Christ would love people, or we choose to be selfish and all of that. And ultimately, we must choose like Joshua in the scripture today. He calls the people to make a decision. Choose who you're going to serve. That's what it boils down to. Choose who you're going to serve. And at points, Joshua almost sounds like he's trying to talk them out of it. He's saying, listen, folks, I don't know if you're really up to this decision. I don't think you've got it in you to really follow the Lord. But he's impressing upon them the weight of the importance of this choice so that they won't take it lightly, because that's what we too often do is we take choices very lightly. In the same way, we have to choose whom we're going to serve. We have to decide if we really believe God, if we really believe what Jesus said and that he died and rose again, and we decide these things once, may decide at one point in our lives, yeah, I believe that. But then a new situation arises, a new test of faith, or just a lot of time goes by and a lot of life experiences. And you know what? We have to decide again. Do I really believe this stuff? Do I still believe this stuff? Am I still going to follow him no matter what? Over and over again, we have to decide these things. There are many decisions, choices that are more spiritually significant than we realize. You know, we have a nice way of speaking of times when we've done something monumentally stupid, destructive, or evil even. And instead of saying, you know, I did something wrong, we like to say, I made a poor decision, right? That's kind of a nice euphemism at times. I mean, sometimes it's just a poor decision, but sometimes we make that a nice euphemism for sin. Rather than, yeah, you know, I did wrong. I did something that was out of bounds. I disobeyed God. Rather than saying those things, that I sinned, that I made a royal mess of things, instead we can say, I made a poor decision. And it is that. It's a poor decision. And we're responsible for our decisions. But we need to be careful not to shift blame, but to own our choices. And because they're spiritually significant. But on the positive side, choosing to do right, choosing to follow Christ, there is great power in the decision to do right, the decision to love as he loved. That can open the door to blessing for so many people with one good and right decision. So the decision to believe and keep on believing makes all the difference. A second thing about decisions, some are temporary and some are to be permanent. And it's good to know which is which. For example, let's say you're a coffee drinker, since we've mentioned Starbucks. Say you're a coffee drinker and you try some different coffee, and you buy a bag of it, and you make some, and it tastes like dirt mixed with ashes. I had some that just kind of, that's the best way to describe it. And then you've got a decision to make. Do I tough it out and finish the whole bag, you know, and just keep using it? Or do I donate it to the church? Please don't, okay? Or you can cut your losses, throw it out, and go buy something else that's really good. Either way, even if you made a poor decision, it's not permanent. It's very temporary, and you're going to forget about it for very long, and it's not a big deal. However, there are some of those tattoo decisions that people regret. I'm not picking on tattoos. There's some very good ones. I'm not making judgments on that. But I think I can't help but wonder, just to ask myself when I see some of them and wonder, you really wanted that for the rest of your life, you know? And then you wonder how sober they were and all of that. But on a deeper scale, some poor decisions we make, we regret. We can't go back and undo them. All right. But Satan would then have us believe that we have to live the rest of our lives under that regret and make us think, well, that's just who you are. You made a bad decision and that's the end of the story for you. That it defines who you are. It's a permanent failure. But that's where we have to see redemption means that the blood of Jesus washes away the guilt and the shame. It may not, you know, we may still have consequences, but the shame and the guilt and the penalty are gone. And if we believe the gospel, we need to understand that. We need to take that seriously. So sin is temporary, even if the circumstances don't go away. But the decision to follow Jesus, that's to be permanent. I mean, like marriage vows, to death do us part, except that with Jesus, it goes beyond death. That's a relationship that goes beyond death. You know, When I was at council, last week I was at the General Council of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and pastors, representatives from churches across the states come together. And I tell you, it really was a wonderful experience to see and just to hear the stories of how God is at work around the world. And in the future, I'll be sharing some of those stories with you. But you know, they have these different seminars, and there was the dean of our seminary. He led a seminar at council, and he talked about those who've been raised in the church but have walked away. They become prodigals, and he said that he had a vision where he saw a whole bunch of sheep in wolves' clothing. We normally think of, right, the scripture talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, right? But he said this is the other way around. It was sheep in wolves' clothing. And he said, what is that, Lord? And he came to understand that it was those that are running from the church, running from the kingdom of God, that they really are sheep. They're those who've given their lives to the Lord, but they are taking on the identity that of the world and of those who walked away from God. But the lesson was that God will bring them back, that God is not done working. And so let that be an encouragement to those of you who are waiting for a prodigal to come back. But baptism is making the statement, you know what? I'm in to follow Jesus permanently. Permanently. This is what I've decided for the rest of my days. Some decisions are temporary, some permanent. Third thing about decisions is that they set your identity. Okay? Decisions set your identity. The choices that we make reflect on our identity, how people view us, what they see about us, what they think of us is largely determined by choices that we've made. And how true is it of you that when you see somebody out on the street, you think, oh, that's the person who, and you fill in the blank about whatever it is that you've observed about them, that affects their identity in your eyes. And I've sometimes joked around that this is why I am serving the Lord 1,000 miles away from where I grew up. But that's another story. But we should be careful about that reality because we rarely know the whole story, right? We assign an identity based on one little slice of something we've observed about somebody and we don't know what's behind the things that you might think you know about them. But another thing about identity, the things that we don't maybe realize put identity on us. We make a choice. You make a choice to put a bumper sticker on your car, right? And for whatever reasons people do that. But I thought about when you do that, you know, especially think about political bumper stickers. You're not going to change anybody's mind by what political bumper sticker you put on your car. But you will change their mind possibly about you, okay? Because that's somebody driving behind you, that's all they know is what you've chosen to put on your bumper sticker. And suddenly everything that bumper sticker stands for becomes what you are being judged for. And I think it's good to think about. Do you really want that to be your main identity, especially if somebody's behind you with 2,000 pounds of or 2 tons of metal? But when you choose to follow Jesus, that identity is greater than your political identity, than your national identity, your ethnic identity, your gender, your socioeconomic status, all of that needs to go way down the ladder of importance when you identify and say Jesus is Lord. You know, in baptism, the book of Romans says we've been united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection in baptism. He is our identity, period. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. And all those things that, you know, that identify people and put them in different places and set and divide people and unite people, none of that matters at the foot of the cross. It's what fundamentally defines you. And I love this about being a child of God. I mean, to go across the globe and meet people that I have almost nothing in common with. Different language, different ethnicity, different economic situation, completely different life experiences. But when we realize, you know what, we both have in common the fact that we've decided to follow Jesus, then you know what? None of that stuff matters because we're family. We're family. And that's a beautiful thing. So if something in your identity, if you've decided to be a follower of Jesus and you've put something in your identity above that, I need to remind you, God's a jealous God and he won't share his glory with another. He won't share the throne of your heart with another, with something else. So if you've put something as more fundamental than your identity with Jesus, I plead with you to think deeply about your choices in that regard. You don't want to realize too late what a mistake that is. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's number one. It's not a sub-point, it's not a hobby, it's who you are, period. And when we choose to follow Jesus, what people see of our actions, our words, how we live our lives, that really needs to reflect the one that we claim to follow. And we really need to think deeply about that. Finally, number four, thing about decisions is that they set your destiny. They set your destiny. Kind of a strange reality, but reality nonetheless, that we make decisions and then those decisions make us. Do you know what I mean by that? We decide this school or that one. And by deciding yes to this one, we're saying no to that one. Or this job or that one. Or this person over that person. Or this act of kindness or that decision to walk away. And we have no idea how collectively, those decisions shape who we become. It's been estimated that we make as many as 2,500 decisions a day. You know, just all the different things we decide, 2,500 decisions a day. That makes me tired just thinking about it. I don't know about you. But every one of those in some way, large or small, makes us who we are. And the whole reap what you sow thing, right? That's very biblical. You reap what you sow. Well, sowing are the decisions that we make. We are sowing seeds that will reap fruit down the road one way or another. You know, you make a decision to get drunk, you choose the hangover that goes with it. You choose to spend your money in a certain way, then you are also making the choice to not have that money for something else. You get the idea. The decision to follow Jesus leads some to miracles and victories. It leads others to persecution and untimely death. But for all, it leads to eternity of glory with God. And that's the thing to remember, the long view of our decisions, right? Because we are so tempted to have a very short view of the decisions that we make. But I promise you this, you won't regret deciding to follow Jesus. So, this is what these young ladies have decided in deciding to be baptized. And it's what you all have done if you have made that decision to be a follower of Jesus. And if you haven't this morning, you know, like Joshua, I don't want it to be something you take lightly or, you know, to say, oh, yeah, you know, that's, yeah, I've done that. But to take seriously what this decision means, what it calls us to, what it represents. And you know, after the baptism, we're going to sing a song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. Great song. But let me tell you the story behind that. It comes from the mid-1800s when a man and his family in an area of India called Assam, they came to faith in Christ through the efforts of a Welsh missionary. And so the story goes, the village chief was not a Christian, some other religion, demanded that this man renounce his faith. And his reply was, I've decided to follow Jesus. And they threatened his family. And he continued by saying, though no one joins me, still I will follow. And they killed his wife in front of him. Sorry. And as they were in the process of killing him, he said, "The cross before me, the world behind me." And as the chief and the others in the village watched him die with such faith and commitment and peace and absence of hatred, eventually they became followers of Jesus too. I don't know what following Jesus will cost those being baptized today. I don't know what it will cost you. I don't know what it will cost me. But if we've decided to follow Jesus no matter what the cost, then does it matter? Life, death, blessing, cursing, riches, poverty, if we've decided, doesn't matter. Of course, the Bible says that we love because he first loved us. We always have to realize whatever decisions we make, he decided first to pursue us. But it makes our choices no less real. So I want to ask all of us, how real is the decision that you have made to follow Jesus? And maybe you've made that decision long ago and barely knew what it meant. And maybe it's time to clarify that decision and make it real. And today, again, if you've never clearly made that decision, today's a good day to do that. So, right now, would you just bow your heads with me, and let's pray. God, thank you for the decisions, the choices that you have made to send Jesus